Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, that would be me. On the surface, it sounds impressive because of the intro. Great to be with you today. All right, now listen to this. We're about to have a potential soup moment here. Now, we don't know if we can, if we have it all worked out or not, but we actually have a shot at this. We might, and still, in quotations, might, because this is, there's still steps. We might get Simone Biles on the show next week.
Nice. That's right. She just released a new book right before Christmas time.
Yes, that thundering you hear in the background is the suit running into the studio. Could I do the interview with
it? First, I thought you were going to say we're lining up an interview with Sage Karam. Have some indie talk in January.
We've already had him on the show.
Yes,
and
we have.
And a very nice young man. He's fine.
Yes.
He's fine. Okay. But no, we're not going that route. We're not going to do that. But we put in a request to be one of the ones to interview her next Tuesday. We are waiting for the answer, but we do know we're under consideration for it. How about that?
I'll have the Olympic music ready to go.
No, don't do that,
please. Okay, I won't.
No, that's just, look, I mean, I heard that Olympic theme for 4 years. Right? It got to the point where every time he played it, okay, my fillings moved. I mean, I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to say one time you're out in the blue course and you're getting ready to, you know, you got a birdie lined up, and all of a sudden you got the John Williams trumpets blaring through your head.
No. No. You'd be amazed what kind of escape that is.
Okay, well, I'm glad it didn't go to that extreme.
It's like, all right, you know. No. But the door is open. How about that? The door is open.
That's all we ask for. That's great.
And I would find that to be a really nice opportunity to talk with her. And all the gold medals she racked up, and she has a great backstory, and that's why, you know, you end up writing a book because you have a great backstory. If you have a great backstory, I think people will buy the book. I for Christmas I was given this book that I started reading. It was entitled, what was it called? The Suit: My Journey to Digital Media. I thought, well, this looks like this could be intriguing.
You make it to chapter two.
I didn't make it past the forward.
Who wrote the forward? That's the burning question. The $64,000 question. Who wrote the forward?
Suit Light. Actually, you know, the last book I read, and I just finished it on the Rose Bowl trip, was entitled Pull Up a Chair, The Vin Scully Story. That was the last book I read. I started reading it. I started reading it on the planes on road trips. And so on the trip back from the Rose Bowl, it was the L.A. to Chicago leg. I finished the book. I cranked out the last 50 pages of it. I just really enjoyed it. I like reading biographies. I mean, I've read Neil Armstrong's story, Tony Conigliaro's story, Mickey Mantle's story, you know, Vin Scully, this one here. So I usually like reading about people, and you know, about people in our industry, too, I like reading about.
The last biography I read, but I only got like halfway through it, and it was a couple of years ago. Steven Tyler, the lead singer of Aerosmith, wrote his biography. But I only got to the point where you're getting into the late '60s when the band was forming. But I'm terrible when it comes to reading books. My wife would be the first to tell you that.
She
makes up for it though. She's very serious. She loves reading books.
Well, I spread it out because I can pick up where I left off, and so I usually do it when I'm flying, and usually sitting around reading a book at home. But see, I'm traveling so much. I mean, and because I travel so much, that's part of how I try to kill the time a little bit traveling. Like I said, my son gave me a book about Mickey Mantle. I read that. Another son gave me a book about Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Read that. Tony Conigliaro, I don't think people know his story too well. You'd have to really go back to know his story. He's the guy that was hit in the eye by Jack Hamilton of the then California Angels in what was a promising and incredible career as a home run hitter, got derailed, and he came back, and then he tried to get into TV, and then he had a heart attack, and he's really, of course, being a Red Sox fan. Now, another book I read, I've actually read a Stephen King book. Not quite what you would think.
No, not at all. No.
All right. But the book was about the 2004 Red Sox, and he wrote it with Stuart Onan. And it was actually a diary that the two of them kept in the 2004 season. So it wasn't. So while the Red Sox can be scary at times, like a Stephen King novel, this one had a happy ending to it. I was told by a big Stephen King fan, that doesn't count. I said, okay, well, his name's on the book. He wrote it. That doesn't count. The Neil Armstrong story. Oh, I'll tell you another one. Lost Moon, Jim Lovell. And I've met Jim Lovell. Love that book. Neil Armstrong's biography. Love that book. Vince Lombardi's book. Love that book. And then I've read several of Kurt Smith's books, Voices of the Game. There's also one where great quotes from announcers. I told you the one that Kurt Smith put in about Ernie Harwell. Ernie Harwell, longtime broadcaster for the Tigers, one of the all-time greats. Absolutely one of the all-time greats. And when they closed down Tiger Stadium to eventually open Comerica Park, they asked Ernie Harwell, hey, look, you've been here forever. You're an institution. What do you want? And you know what he ended up taking? The urinal from the visitor's clubhouse. They asked him, why do you want that? He says, think of all the Hall of Famers that have used it. And what he did was he brought it someplace, had it completely disinfected and cleaned up, and gave it to his wife as a planter. It's a planter for his wife. So I've read a lot of books. I've read four Kurt Smith's books on broadcasting, including Vin Scully. That's why I like to read. That's why I like to read. I remember a couple of years ago I did the Neil Armstrong book on the road trips and the whole thing. A few years before that, Tony Conigliaro, Mickey Mantle last year. So, that's what I do to kill some time. Mark Lawrence forming an argument. I found that to be fascinating. Forward by Joe McGranahan. What? No?
Instant classic.
A classic something. It's a classic something. So, that's what we try to do with it. Great to have you with us on the show today. Now, what do you have on your end today?
Well, we were going to have Adam Amin today, okay. But I got a text from Adam over the lunch hour. He's dealing with some travel issues and some scheduling switch-ups today, so we're going to move him back to tomorrow. So it'll be 4:06 tomorrow for Adam Amin.
So you messed up.
What's up?
So you messed up. No.
Oh, you caught me. But well, no, he sent me two texts to apologize to you, and I said, "No worries, we're good." And,
no,
and,
but it's not, that's not an issue, Mike.
No,
goodness.
As I said to him, I texted him back, said, "No worries, we're good. You just get there safe, and we'll get you on. I mean, we'll get you on tomorrow."
He has carte blanche whenever he wants.
That's right.
So what we're going to go with today is this. We're going to go with Mike Conti from the Falcons Radio Network to talk about the Falcons Seahawks, BenJonesStateCollege.com. I think that works.
That does.
Well, since you failed. Look, the first step to recovery is admitting it. Then we got Adam Amin coming up tomorrow. We've got Mark Vandermeer, right?
Yeah, that'll be 4:35 tomorrow with
tomorrow.
Mark. Yep, and Paul Alexander on Friday. And of course, your brother.
Well, I'm also working, though, on getting Dick Girardi on Friday's show.
Great.
You know, because I'll tell you why. You know, for many reasons. Obviously, I think he's the best. I could talk to him anytime. But, you know, Dick and I talked after Saturday's game at the Palestra. Now, think of this. Dick has worked over 300 games in the Palestra in his career. And I talked to him Saturday night after I got back here. And he was covering Penn Princeton that night. He and his brother drove up to Jadwin to work that game for the Daily News and for the Inquirer. And he said to me, the game went by so fast on Saturday. He says, I didn't want it to end. Now, when someone of that vast experience says that, that means something. Tonight, by the way, Michigan State will play Minnesota tonight. Ironically, it's going to be the second meeting in conference in the opening five games of the conference. But it's a big one for Penn State to look at because Minnesota's here next on Saturday at noon. They're 15-2. They've played well. One of the two losses is to Michigan State. All right, so coming up, BenJonesStateCollege.com next half hour. Mike Conti, Falcons Radio Network, coming up in the 4:06 half hour. And because Sean can't nail people down, we've had to move them all over. No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke.
I know
people,
it is.
Don't take it too seriously out there, people. Okay. Now, I want to tell you right now. My kids got me for Christmas a remote car starter. Okay? All right. And I had to take it over to Best Buy today to have it installed. All right? I've now received an email from the, quote, Geek Squad, thanking me for my recent visit, and they would like to know my evaluation. I don't have the car back yet.
I'll stop by the store, and I'll let you know in person. Give you a face-to-face evaluation.
While I appreciate your enthusiasm, I'd like to try it first. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. The Suits autobiography, My Journey to Digital Media. The foreword was written by Dave Ritchie, the chief. It's a one-word foreword.
Only one?
Yes, it said why. All right, welcome back to the show. I love the enthusiasm of the Geek Squad. I really do. what kind of job did we do in your car? I don't know. I don't have it back yet. I'll let you know when I try it. But I have to first finish the show. I can't get it yet. Oh, my goodness. All right. Did you see they want to form? There's a small group, but the group includes Adam Schefter of ESPN. I don't know if he's in a consultant's role or if he has a financial stake in it. Mike Pereira, that you see as the Fox NFL referee consultant, and several others, a Southern California Professional Development League for football. They would like to initially start in 2018 with four teams that would play in June and July. The salary would be, I think, somewhere in the range of $50,000 per year. And it's for guys that want to leave school early, before their third year, or high schoolers who don't want to go to college. Now, look, college isn't for everybody. You know, I don't sit there, you know, sometimes, you know, people get pushed and they go to college, and it's not for them. But there are so many avenues that young people can take now. I don't care whether it's college or a trade school or something like that. The ability to work with your hands. I mean, great stuff like that. But college isn't for everybody. There's some people that would love to, you know, athletes that would love to bypass college and go right to the pros, and they can't do it. Basketball, of course. Some players over the years have done it. LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, players like that along the way. But it hasn't happened in football, obviously. Marcus Dupree came the closest to doing it. I think, what was he, at Oklahoma 1 year? 2 years? Before he went to the USFL? Play for the Breakers? This deserves more conversation, which I'm going to have. Next half hour, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And just a few moments, we'll be joined by Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We'll talk about a little bit about college basketball and what's been a wild ride so far in the game. Look at last night's games. Last night, the nation's number one team went on the road to West Virginia and got pounded. I mean, not close. Villanova beat Xavier by 25 last night. Maryland is 3-1 in the Big Ten. Indiana's 1-3. Maryland beat them last night 75-72. Everywhere you look, you have an unpredictable game in college basketball, including Saturday's Penn State win when they knocked off Michigan State by 9 at the Palestra in Philadelphia. So there is a lot going on in what is now appears to be a wide-open game this year in college basketball. I mean, it's wide open. The Big Ten standings look like they're turned upside down at this point. All right, let's get to this day in sports history. And then from there, we will go to Ben Jones of StateCollege.com. I'm still laughing at the email I got about the from the Best Buy. It's like, guys, hey, slow down, just go slow. Yeah, you could, you know, just slow down just a little bit. I'd like to get the car back first, then I will tell you how you did. All right. This day in sports history. 1953, J. Edgar Hoover declined a six-figure offer to become the president of the International Boxing Club. Really? 1970, Billy Casper became the second golfer in history to top the $1 million mark in earnings when he won the L.A. Open golf tournament. Now they get that for winning the tournament. 1973, owners of the American League adopted the designated hitter on a trial basis. 1976, Dorothy Hamill won her third consecutive National Figure Skating Championship. She eventually that year then won the gold medal at Innsbruck. Muhammad Ali received a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2002. In 2007, it was announced that David Beckham had signed a five-year, $250 million deal with the Los Angeles Galaxy of MLS. And in 2010, Mark McGwire admitted he used steroids on and off for nearly a decade. Well, okay. I know you're all were surprised by that. You appear to be surprised, Sean. All right, let's bring in Ben Jones, StayCollege.com. Ben, you watched and listened to that atmosphere in the Palestra on Saturday. What were your thoughts about it all?
I think what you sense is a couple things. I think you sense a team that was in the moment and understood the moment and not the stakes, if you will, but the opportunity that was in front of them. I think you've seen Penn State teams go back to Philadelphia in the past with guys that have Philadelphia ties, and maybe they've pressed a little too much or they just have not had their best games. And I think you look at this game and you see guys that are comfortable with their surroundings, and I think, you know, because of that they were able to win. I don't think any of the Philly guys really had a bad game. If anything, they played some of their better games of the year, and I think because of that Penn State wins. And I think also when you're in that building and you see all the Penn State fans there, that you kind of get a sense that yes, you know, if you build it, they will come. And I think that's always been the theory, and you've seen it from time to time. But I think, you know, that atmosphere, certainly people that go to the Palestra are places where they get bigger and bigger crowds. They're used to that sort of thing. But I talked to Tony Mancuso actually after the game and mentioned to him that was one of the most, you know, electric atmospheres that I've covered a Penn State basketball game in. And I've seen some, you know, some bizarre upsets, if you will. And I think that tapped everything, and the performance went right there with it. So I think you see a combination of a team that's getting confident in itself and a fan base that's eager to see them do that.
All right, so now you've it's not just that game, though. I'm sure you watched the Michigan game on TV. When you see the two in combination, where Penn State was easily the more athletic team than Michigan, what does that tell you about direction?
Oh, I mean, I think they're headed in the right direction because they're learning from their experiences. And I think that's key when you've got a young team. It's not so much can you win every game. It's when you lose, what did you learn from that and what are you able to do? And I think you look at the Michigan game, you know, you have that 14-point lead. You've got that double-digit lead. Michigan starts to come back. And you just sort of you see these guys, you know, having this moment of, oh, no, here it's going to happen. We're going to lose. And you kind of, you know, it's one of those games where you can be ahead by 6 points and still feel like the team, you know, is playing like they're coming from behind. And because of that, you know, I think they overthink things a little bit. And you look at the Michigan State game, Michigan State on numerous occasions brought that game within 5 points. I thought you kind of got an idea of what Penn State had learned from the Michigan game at the end of the first half, actually, because Michigan State has got the momentum. They cut it down to five, and you kind of felt like this was going to be a situation where Penn State looks at the first half and goes, we played way better, but somehow, you know, this is almost tied or even behind, and Penn State pushes it back out to, I believe it was a 12-point halftime lead on their own 7-0 run. And that's the sort of thing that you have to see from a team that's young and growing, that they take an experience where maybe they give up a lead and they go behind, and they get in that same situation where they have the teams coming up from behind, they've got the momentum, and they find a way to get that counterpunch. And I think that sort of thing, you know, it's only one game and it's only one set of experiences, but I think certainly to see them do that from the Michigan game into the Michigan State game, that's a positive sign of progress for this bunch.
How interesting is it that 4 games into the conference season, the sixth leading scorer in conference play is Shep Garner?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you told me that, you would either say that Penn State's playing a lot worse than they are, or that they're getting the kind of scoring that they're getting here, which is that everyone is contributing. And I, I was thinking about that on my drive over to the Jordan Center today. I'm outside the building right now. That you know, it's interesting because you would have never anticipated that Shep would have been the sixth leading scorer. But at the same time, I think it is a sign that Penn State is finally playing the kind of basketball that it's wanted to play, where you spread the ball around, where you get scoring from different guys. When Tony isn't the guy that's leading, then Lamar is the guy who's leading. When they aren't leading, then Shep is. You know, somebody can pick up that slack every night, and I think in theory, you've seen that attempted, and it's happened off and on over the past few years. You've seen Brandon Taylor and DJ kind of take turns at times, but I think this year it's really been an example of they don't need one guy to show up every night to have a chance. Certainly, you know, that helps when you've got one consistent scorer every night, but I think at the end of the day, if you've got four or five guys who can give you double digits any night, as long as one of them is doing it and the other guys are complimenting, that makes for some matchup issues for other teams, because you can't just shut down Shep and feel like you've got a good chance to win.
For the second time in the opening five games of the conference schedule, Minnesota plays Michigan State. Minnesota's 15-2. What kind of signs are you seeing in the conference that this is a wide-open race between now and March?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the games like Wisconsin and Purdue, you know, Purdue losing to Minnesota. There's just sort of, you know, all of the teams that you kind of anticipated were going to be really good. And don't get me wrong, I think Purdue and Wisconsin, all those teams are as advertised. But I think there is not necessarily a dominant force in the Big Ten like there has been the past few years. I think Michigan State's certainly going to be much better down the road, because it's hard. You know, Michigan State's always going to be Michigan State as long as Tom Izzo's there. But, you know, Minnesota, that's a program that has been on the cusp of kind of getting over that same sort of hump that Penn State has been trying to get over. And I think this year you see a team that's finally sort of putting it all together. They're getting those wins on the road, and that's really the biggest thing. And, you know, you can defend home court pretty well in the Big Ten and still find yourself in fourth or fifth place, and you've got to find a way to win on the road. So for Minnesota to be able to do that so far this year is a testament to the type of team that they've got. And really, you know, winning on the road is hard enough in the Big Ten, and the fact they've been able to do it sort of shows that, you know, nobody has quite got it figured out to the point of, you know, you can't come in here and win. I think Purdue had that sort of persona early in the year, but some of the struggles, not struggles, but sort of the vulnerabilities that they've had the past few games has certainly opened up the door to the idea that really this is going to be anybody's race right down to the finish.
When you watch Mike Watkins play, what are you seeing?
I think you see the kind of big man that Penn State has needed. I think he's athletic. He fits that mold of a guy who's going to be able to run the court like Pat wants them to be able to do. But at the same time, he's going to give you an inside presence, not only on the offensive end, but defensively. I think Mike Watkins is one of those guys who impacts the defense in ways that don't show up in the box score. When you've got a guy that's big and that athletic, and I think one of the most impressive things about him is not his first jump, but it's his ability to reload and jump again, right, almost as high as his first one. And I think because of that, his explosiveness and his athleticism, you really get a guy, you know, you saw it early in the Michigan State game with some of those dunks, even though the alley-oop that didn't quite connect. His ability to get up and down the court and give you what you need out of a big man is really not quite like anything, at least I've seen. I know we've debated this with other guys who've covered Penn State basketball longer than I have, but I think the fact that it's up for debate of who was the last guy that was this athletic and this capable in the post area really speaks a lot to, you know, sort of the potential that he has. And the thought that Penn State could have him for 4 years, you know, with what he's been able to do already, you get him in the weight room for another offseason and really just let him hone his craft and get better and better. You're looking at a guy, I think, realistically, it could end up being and is already in certain respects, you know, one of the best big men in the conference.
Tony Carr, Lamar Stevens, what progress have you seen from both?
I think Tony Carr is doing a good job figuring out what his role is. I think I was talking to some guys when we were in Philly who saw him in high school and said he was never this aggressive in high school, and I think you're seeing him figuring out where his offensive game fits into the Big Ten and really fits into the Division One level. But I think he's super smooth. I think, you know, once some of the little fundamentals and what have you catch up to how smart he is, I think talking to him, it's clear that he's a really bright kid. He sees the floor really well. He can pull off really good passes and just sort of the execution that you need from a point guard. But I think the better he gets at the little things, the better Penn State will be off, or better off Penn State will be overall. And I also think when you look at Lamar Stevens, you see a guy that has a really good sense of where Penn State is in the game at any given moment. His ability to work in the post, he reminds me a little bit of a hybrid between, you might have to stick with me here, of Jamel Cornley and Jeff Brooks, because he's kind of got that toughness inside, but he's got athleticism as well. And I think, you know, physically and mentally, he looks beyond his years. And that's the sort of thing that Penn State needs, because realistically, you know, they're trying to turn that corner really quickly. And it's going to take guys like Tony Carr and Lamar Stevens to be able to do that. And I think for the most part, you know, they've both had freshman moments, but it's impossible to avoid those. But overall, I think you look at their game and how they've been able to play, and you can't find much fault with what they've brought to the court so far.
Your defense and your rebounding, if you have it, travel. It looks like Penn State has gone back to that, even though there's been so much concentration on offense. What have you seen defensively and rebounding? It's a little bit different the last couple of weeks compared to maybe the first couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just see a team that's getting after the boards. They won the offense, or they won the rebounding battle against Michigan State by 10, which Michigan State has always, you know, historically been a difficult team to rebound against. And I think the rebounds are key, because realistically, Penn State is not a great half-court offense, because I don't think that they have a guy that's going to get you your shot the same way that maybe DJ Newbill or Tim Frazier or even Taylor Battle did to a certain extent over the past few years. They don't have a guy. I think Lamar's got a pretty good mid-range jumper from the areas that he knows he can make it from, but I think for the most part, this team is so athletic and so fast that the best situation for them to be in is in transition, and I think that, you know, that comes down to rebounds. If you're not getting rebounds, you're not winning transition battles, you're not winning you know, the situations where you feel like you're the strongest. So you know, absolutely, defense. And defense is going to be key when you know you're maybe not a team that's always going to score a lot of game or a lot of points in a game where someone's going to force you to play that half court. And certainly, they've gotten much better in that kind of offense, but it all comes back to defense in the Big Ten. If you can keep guys, you can keep teams under, you know, the 80 points, the 70 points, and even sometimes, you know, you've seen 60 or 50 points being enough to win a Big Ten game. You can score all the points you want, but if you're not stopping anybody, it's not going to matter. And I think this is a team that's coming to appreciate the value of holding teams to empty possessions and being able to do what they want to do offensively on the other end. So I think those things absolutely go together, and you see a team, especially on the rebounding end of it, sort of coming to realize that that's the basis of where their offense is going to come from.
Ben, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
That is Ben Jones, statecollege.com. Mike Conti, next half hour, we'll talk about the NFL playoffs as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Through four Big Ten games, Shep Garner is the sixth leading scorer. If you were to tell me that back in October, I would have told you Penn State would be 0-4 right now. Instead, they're 2-2, and what's really great about watching this early run by them is it is the kids that have stepped up and done some big things. You would hope that Lamar Stevens, Mike Watkins, and Tony Carr would develop as the season has gone along. They have developed as the season has gone along. Hasn't been a perfect ride, but they've developed. And we got another team coming in here on Saturday. Same story, just as athletic. But again, you're looking at a Penn State rarely is more athletic than the team they're facing. And Now it's a different story. They play Michigan, they're the more athletic team. They play Michigan State, they are as athletic as Michigan State. I mean, when could you ever say that about Penn State basketball, that they are as athletic as Michigan State? Now it's a question of taking athleticism, combining it with effort, and I've seen great effort out of them the last three games. And then the experience part. Winning Saturday was big in the experience part for them. They had to go through. They had to hit some free throws. Now, it wasn't a smooth ride down the stretch. They were 9 of 14 in the final 4 minutes at the line. But Tom Izzo also decided that, look, part of that is we're going to foul Mike Watkins and put him at the line. It's one of the reasons why Pat Chambers did not put Mike back in the final 2 minutes. He kept Lamar Stevens in the five spot because he wanted his five best free throw shooters down the stretch, and he got free throw production after that. But that was a big win, and now they've got an opportunity with Minnesota at home, which is ranked. Minnesota has Michigan State tonight. I will be watching, but I'll be watching for different reasons you are, but I'll be watching. I'll be watching because I want to get a good long look at Minnesota. I haven't really watched them this year. I know Amir Coffey is really good. I obviously know what Nate Mason can do. I've seen him play how many games against Penn State.
Yeah, one of the first things I said to you on Monday when you got back from Philly, that being such a great win at the Palestra, now they got to wait 7 days to play another game. And actually, you made a really good point.
I'd rather them come down from the emotion of playing that game at home, seeing their families and things like that, get a day or two off, and then lock in on the next two games here. Well, they got back to practice last night. I went to practice last night. And I really liked what I saw. They were dialed in as to what was going on. They were not letting Saturday get too big for them. And I liked what I saw last night. I was there for a little bit more than an hour last night. Maybe an hour and 10 minutes I went to see last night. And I liked what I saw. Liked what I saw. I was very pleased by that. Look, they're young. They'll make mistakes along the way. I mean, they're far from getting past that embryonic stage of staying away from mistakes. They'll make some. But again, when you're sitting there and you're looking at Shep Garner being your sixth leading scorer in Big Ten play. Really? That's something else. He's your sixth leading scorer. Everyone thought he'd be the leading scorer. And you're still hanging in there and winning. Mike Conti, next half hour, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Your home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 51. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.